Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be with us here on our final Sunday in February as we're getting ready to move on to a March that hopefully does what it doesn't do in other places, comes in like a lamb and goes out like a lamb, but we'll see. It's coming up on us quickly. Most of you know what these are. Most of you have one of these. In fact, if you don't, as our members, we got to make sure that you get a word to the office so that you can have a name tag. It's been a while since we've had a name tag month. And it's kind of gimmicky because maybe in some ways we should be wearing our name tags every Sunday. But we're going to put this in place for March. Everybody wears their name tag in the month of March. If you need one or if we have guests or whatever, we'll make sure that we have some spare name tags in the back. So that we can follow through this as best as we can, we are going to extend this thing for March by one extra day. That one extra day is April 1st. It's not only April Fool's Day, it is Easter Sunday. And so starting next week, all the Sundays through Easter Sunday, we're all hopefully going to be wearing our name tags. And it's just what we do with them after that, we'll see, but we've got them. Let's put them to good use for a while. As you leave this morning, we also have I was talking about March. We have the March calendar ready. It's obviously a very busy month as it goes right up to the brink of Easter. And part of what we're doing in the month of March is continuing with our worship services that are going to be in the CLC. This week, we have two groups. Our outreach group, Mocha, and our youth group, our CIA, are going to be co-hosting an Italian-style supper. They're working up some special sauces and stuff like that so that we can make that night extra special. So hopefully you can join us for that this coming week. But I do want to call your attention to what we're going to be doing a week from Wednesday, and that's the chili cook-off. Maybe some of you or a lot of you have heard about it, but Barb Hahn is here. And she's back over here right now, but she's going to be just outside the exit here after worship so that even if you've talked to me, if you're bringing some chili, go to her. She's got a sign-up sheet. Sign up for it. And then we'll be talking a little bit next Sunday about what we're going to want you to do with that chili. Now, no matter who you are, we're going to have everybody that's letters, I believe it's something like A through R, are going to be bringing crackers and a salad or whatever else, and then everybody else will bring a dessert, and we'll make sure that we've got that covered. Not everybody has to bring chili, but we need all of you to be our judges for that chili. We're going to have little containers, and if there's 13 different chilies, you don't have to feel like you got to have 13 little bowls of chili, but we'll work through that. It's just, the most dangerous things a Lutheran ever says is, we've never done this before, but we're going to give it a try. It's something in which, and it also helps us in the midst of getting God's people as we continue on our services, which is Return to the Lord, a Lenten journey. Lenten journeys that take us to the cross, but on the way to the cross have taken us to a couple of fascinating places and another one coming this coming Wednesday night. So please join us. Supper is at 6:30. I want to direct your attention to a couple of the Bible classes. We just finished our Bible class hour, but we've got a couple of Bible classes we want to call your attention to, especially during the winter months and stuff. I've got a kind of an informal once-a-month Bible study, again, very informal, that we do out at the house. I'd like to invite any of you that would like to come on over tonight. We've got snacks, we've got food, some of which I can't even eat, but it's there for our enjoyment. And we're going to bring our Bibles with us. We're going to go through another portion of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Again, only once a month on the fourth Sunday. But then this coming Wednesday, we're going to be starting a brand new Bible study back in the conference room. Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. I guess we used to have Lenten services at 10 a.m., but we're going to be having Bible study now during the Lenten season and well past it. And the Bible study is going to be on the Gospel of St. Luke. We'd like you to join us for that. Again, it's going to be back in the conference room every Wednesday morning starting at 10 o'clock. We would like that to become just one of the treasured things that we do here at church. Finally, I want to make sure that everybody, we've had some things passed out about our 2019 cruise. We've had a number of people sign up, and we thank you. We've had a bunch of cabins that have been set aside just for us, but that expires on Friday. Now, it doesn't mean you can't register after Friday, but the easiest way and time to get that done is this week. And if you'd like to call me or kind of just work things through me, we'll make sure that everything gets done. But let's see if we can get as many of those done this week as we possibly can. If you need to register later, things will be available. Okay? Finally, we're collecting beads for our float, the Chasco Street Parade, which is now just less than 2 weeks away, a week from this coming Saturday. Coming up on us very quickly, the Chasco Parade, it's a little early this year, but it's going to be when it's going to be. So that parade actually starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon this time around. So we're collecting beads. Help us to do that. Our service today is a traditional morning prayer. It's another one of these services that does not begin with a hymn, and the greeting of the peace is pushed a little ways back into our service this morning. So we're going to start here with a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts and lives to worship our Lord and Savior in word and sacrament. So let's take that moment now, and then we will begin with the invocation and opening sentences. May God bless us as he comes to us, we who come to him as his children. As you are able, please stand. We make our beginning in the name of the Lord God, who has given us life and brings to us life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now I ask you before God, who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God by what you have done and by what you have left undone, and deserve his wrath and punishment? If so, then declare by saying, I do confess. Indeed, we should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? If so, then declare by saying, I do repent. Indeed, we should repent, as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman at the feet of Jesus, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? If so, then declare by saying, I do believe. Indeed, we should believe. For our Lord Jesus gave us these words of true gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will, from this time forward, take up the battle against sin in your life and live the forgiven life in the light of Christ? If so, then declare so by saying, I do promise. Indeed, this needs to be our promise. As Jesus also said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. As you confess, repent, believe, and promise, so let it be unto you. It is my privilege and joy to announce to you that Jesus has taken away your burdens by his death and resurrection. According to his own command, I, as a servant of the word and called as pastor and servant of that word, declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all evil words and actions, both from inside and outside, that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from the Holy Scripture are appointed for the second Sunday in Lent. The Old Testament reading from Genesis. Moses writes, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly.' Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, 'Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you.' And God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her.' This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the book of Romans. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Long ago, and at many times in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son."
Please stand as a sign of resurrection. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We now go through the first three commandments. What is the first commandment? You shall have no other God. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. What is the second commandment? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. What is the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn. Friends, it's just the right time. Christ died for the best people in the world and the worst people in the world. And we're all gathered right here together. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you. Amen. There was this pastor who was going to be preaching his first sermon as a pastor. He'd done a lot of practicing up until that time, but he finally gets into his first congregation. He wanted to make an impression on them. He also wanted to start teaching some lessons about the seriousness of sin, and so, you know, he issued the pulpit. He started coming down. He started from about here. And he started talking to the people about the kinds of things that these sins, the way they express themselves in each and every one of you. And he started getting more direct and more personal. And finally, he looked at the people and said, I am convinced that half of you are nothing but a bunch of crooks. Welcome to the church, right? Well, there were a few people that took umbrage to the fact that, no, I really don't expect the sermon to end, and we call the police and put me in handcuffs and haul me away. There must have been a better way for you to say that. And enough people had said something to him that finally he realized, you know, maybe he oversold his point a little bit. So the next week he came back and he seemed somewhat contrite. He kind of gave an apology for what he had said the previous week and how it really didn't come off the way it was supposed to. And then he finally, just as he started in, he finally said to the people, so I guess what I'm really trying to say is that half of you are not crooks. Welcome to the church again. But my friends, when we are talking about people, we can be talking about, we call them crooks, ungodly. Whatever term we want to use, it sounds pretty ugly, and it is. The ungodly are people who lack everything good that God is and that God wants us to be. Ungodly people have turned away from their Creator. They are in open rebellion, although they may try to cover it up with a veneer of either respectability or in the midst of some things that they do, hypocrisy. The ungodly have literally unhitched themselves from God and insist on going about it their own. They want to be masters of their own universe, making the decisions that belong in the realm of God for themselves because they're the ones in charge. Ungodly people have no time for the one true God. They have no ears to listen to his word. They do not worship God as he is supposed to be worshiped. They are impious. They are not devout. In fact, far from it. They do not, here's these words again, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. They don't do this stuff. And you know, God would be entirely justified in condemning every one of them. in pouring down his wrath upon them, because that's what they deserve. They've earned the whole time being away from God. Their thoughts, words, and actions, and whatever they aren't doing that they should be doing, bearing witness against them each and every day. But who are these people? Who are these ungodly ones? Is it roving gangs of thugs that are roaming our streets, making places unsafe? Is it people that would go into schools and start shooting up people for really no good reason? Is it people who would be greedy and even on a corporate level would steal or price gouge? Is it that person that makes sure he's got plenty of money for himself as the employer but never pays his workers? The crooked politician. The two people that start shacking up with each other, but this person shacking up with somebody different for the sixth time, and this person shacking up with somebody for the eighth time. Yep. All of them ungodly. No question about it. But here's the thing. There is one word we cannot use when we are describing the ungodly. And that is they. Because they has got a way of pushing sins and sinners off to one side and off to the other, and somehow we are left sitting here untouched. No. It might make us uncomfortable, but when it says Christ died for the ungodly, he's talking about me. He's talking about you. And so it is on a day like today, as we're now moving well into the Lenten season, that we are really seeing what the starting line to the death of Jesus really is all about. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's an alarming thought, but it's a comforting thought at the same time. And then he continues, where he says, you know, very rarely will anyone die for a person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. And, you know, we see these things all the time. Maybe there have been some kidnapping hostage situations in which you'll just hear somebody say, look, take me and let that person go. Or in another case where you've seen these people, school shootings, Vegas, wherever you want to go, who, when the bullet started to ring out, these people actually ran toward it so that they could get other people out of harm's way. Heroic stories of people giving their lives for others. A soldier will jump on a landmine to protect the lives of his fellow buddy soldiers. A Secret Service agent will put that person's life on the line on behalf of the president. But you know, is that always the case? There's a scene in a movie from about 35 years ago where a bunch of these people had joined the army, and it was the first day of basics where now this is the time everybody in the platoon's trying to get to know each other. And of course, we are being introduced in the movie to these characters at the same time they're supposedly being introduced to each other. And of course, they're all very different personalities. And a couple of them, and I can imagine this might be the case, are a little bit cocky. And are just kind of thumbing their nose at some of the other people that are in that platoon. And finally, the drill sergeant has to look at this man and say, I want to tell you something. We're all in this together because one of these people one day may save your life. And then the guy that's kind of the star of the movie, always a snide comment waiting, responds, but then again, one of us may not. His own little way of saying it, you know, okay, for people that have passed some kind of muster, oh yeah, we'd be willing to do that. But do we really want to be put in a spot where when it comes time and something has to be done, do I really want to take the heat for this guy or not? You don't ever want to be put in a position where you have to ask that. But somehow, somebody did. And no matter who the person was, from the most near and dear individual that we have in this church, no matter who you may be, he or she, and I thank every one of you for being here, to the most odious, offensive, troublemaking enemy you can ever imagine, Jesus Christ died on the cross for him or her and for you as well, and equally as much. Jesus died for the ungodly, taking our place, becoming our substitute, willing to say, no, 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 not you, me instead. He had done nothing wrong by which he had to suffer that. Every time that we see and hear the story of the crucifixion and death of Jesus, especially as we're sharing it on Wednesday nights, we've got to hear it with the ears that say, but it was me that put him there. It was me that made him suffer this. But Jesus was willing to do that. And because he did, now we are all reconciled to God. The word reconcile is indeed a very special word. There are various meanings associated with it. One meaning is to win over, maybe even to friendliness. You might remember back in World War II, we had two enemies a half a world apart, each of whom were trying to end our existence permanently. But after the war was over, they became our allies and remain our allies in the fight against terrorism. Reconcile also means to bring into agreement. Because sometimes you will have between workers and whatever, you know, the workers in the workplace, something in which maybe even a work stoppage ends up occurring, and somehow they've got to find common ground. Movie years and years ago that in which they were highlighting some of the things that took place, and boy, they didn't use filters on their mouths when they were discussing their feelings towards each other years and years ago as much as they do today. And especially when it would involve things like an airport in the midst of a snowstorm, tempers would get a little short between some of the various departments trying to get way too many things done that just cannot be done in the face of that storm. And they would say that well into the spring, once all that stuff they knew was done for the summer, they would have to have and this is what they called it, a kiss and make up night. And they admitted there were some years they really needed it. Well, reconcile also means to restore harmony. When a marriage is falling apart, the couple seeks counseling. And the first goal, obviously, is repentance. And no matter what it is that we do, as God's people, when we realize we're the ungodly, the first step of reconciliation is always repentance. But the goal is eventually to have harmony within the marriage restored, for there to be true reconciliation. Now, in a human world, most of the time, reconciliation is going to take place when you got two sides. One side is going to give a little. The other side is going to give a little. And that means each side is going to get maybe not what they wanted or everything they wanted, but we are going to find some common ground. But that's not the way our reconciliation worked with God. We were God's bitter enemies. There's men from the early 20th century, an English author and philosopher named G.K. Chesterton. And he was once the writer of the Father Brown mysteries, and a time came when a prominent newspaper once sent a questionnaire, one question questionnaire, to him and a whole bunch of people like him, asking a simple question: what is wrong with the world today? What is wrong with the world today? I can imagine if we have, I don't know, 80 people here, something like that, I might get 80 different answers. G.K. Chesterton wrote a simple, single thing. What is wrong with the world today? I am. Yours, G.K. Chesterton. If you were to be asked that question just a moment ago, how many of you would have been willing to say, what's wrong with the world today? How many of you have been willing to say, I'm the problem? Now, certainly, none of us are the whole problem. But the reason Jesus had to hang on the cross was because we were part of the problem. And that's why, from the darkness of death, Jesus in the waters of, Jesus has made us his child in the waters of holy baptism, so that our names are now written in the wounds of Jesus. We did nothing to bring about that reconciliation. Baptism does not commit us to Christ. Christ commits himself to us. That believing, that faith, that's not a conviction that we can claim as our own and maybe even brag about it, but it is a gift that you have received. Friends, there's a story of a 19th century preacher who was coming to the end of his sermon, and he decided that he wanted to use every word that he could think of to describe the certainty of our salvation. And so he started out with words: redeemed, restored, forgiven, justified, grace, whatever, snatched from the fire, whatever else. Sitting up in a balcony, but actually listening to every word, was a young boy. And with each word that this preacher used and each pronouncement that this preacher gave to talk about the certainty of salvation, the young boy leaned forward a little bit more. At some point, the preacher said amen. Then the service ended and he went to shake hands with the congregation. When it came time for the boy to come through the line, the young man said, I was the one up in the balcony, but I heard what you said. We sure are sitting pretty, aren't we? Friends, from people that started as absolute crooks, oh yeah, where we're sitting today, thanks to Jesus, we're sitting pretty. Because that's where we live. In the land of reconciliation, of him who died for the ungodly, of him who died for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is either in the inside back cover of the hymnal. You may follow along on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. Let us know that you were here today. Let us pray to God, crying out for his mercy, confident that our Father hears our prayers because the Son of Man suffered, died, and was raised for us. Our Father in heaven, continue to establish your saving covenant with us, as you did with Abraham, that we who surely deserve nothing from you may rely on you for everything. While we were still your enemies, at the right time you gave your Son to die for the ungodly, to die for us. Grant us repentant hearts and faith that rejoices that his death has reconciled us to you, Lord, in your mercy. Our Father in heaven, you know the many temptations with which the world would snare us and draw us away from trust in you. Help us to set our minds not on the selfish things of mankind, but on the things of God. Grant each of us a faith that joyfully confesses that Jesus is the Christ. Give us the strength to daily deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. Pour out your Spirit on those who proclaim Jesus here and throughout the world, and bring those, so many of those who do not know or trust his love, also to believe and rejoice in the reconciliation our Savior accomplished for them and for us by his blood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our Father in heaven, look with kindness upon all those who serve in the public realm or who hold public office in our land at the national, state, county, and local levels. Be with all judges. Fill all of these people with your wisdom. Give them courage, compassion. Help them in times of loneliness or in difficult decisions. Make them a blessing to the people that you have given them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our Father in heaven, be with those who are now passing through difficult times and know sickness or heartache, loneliness or despair. We pray on behalf of Bob Brown, Lamar Miller, Barb Goodhue, all of whom are continuing in times of therapy and rehabilitation. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the healing and strength that comes from you that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Heal each one as you know best. Provide also for those who lack money, homes, or the necessities of life. In every time of testing, teach us to hold tightly to you, that in the end we may know the comfort of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our Father in heaven, prepare the hearts of those who will now receive Christ's body and blood this day. With our Savior in us through this Holy Supper, grant us a peace that rejoices even in sufferings. By your gracious working, let those sufferings produce endurance in us. Let endurance produce character. Let character produce the hope that is never ashamed, because you have poured your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. For into your hands we place ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Sanctify and guide us in all truth, to know Jesus Christ and the Father whom he has known, as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes in the middle of page 8 with the closing unison prayer. Please stand as we pray this prayer together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that your Son has kept his promise to give us a new covenant by the cross, so that we shall be strengthened unto everlasting life in the promised land of heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, we've got somebody, if you want to be making chili a week from Wednesday, who you can sign up with just behind us here. Friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.